Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to see each one of you. I hope that you've had a good morning thus far by your presence here. It shows that you know what to put first, and that is God. We're grateful for the presence of each one, those who are members here and those who are visiting with us, who are our brethren from other places. We're glad that you're with us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity. Has your mouth ever gotten you into trouble? I see some folks going, yeah, Most of us would have to admit that somewhere along the way that we've said things that we wish that we could have brought back. At the same time, there's times when we say words or give thoughts that we say it one way and somebody else hears it another. One of the hardest things in communication is to try to get my heart to be accepted by your heart and you hearing actually what I'm saying. And it may be sometimes people do hear what we're saying and we hope that they don't. You know, the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and there verse 19 that we ought to be, beloved, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Have you ever been guilty of just speaking for the sake of hearing yourself speak? Our little granddaughter was with us yesterday, and that little girl, bless her heart, the first 2 years she wouldn't say 10 words to us. I may have gotten 10 words out of the first 2 years. And now she talks constantly about things that I have no idea what she's talking about. She's read something, and she's going to spend the next 30 minutes walking around the coffee table telling me exactly what all she read. Believe it or not, some people like to speak just to hear the sound of their voice. Wisdom is what we ought to be seeking. And wisdom is simply applied knowledge. We need to learn that words mean a great deal. And a lot of times we'll say, well, I didn't really mean it that way. Sometimes that may be true. Other times it means that we did not expect it to get the results in which came from it. In James chapter 3, we could spend the whole time that we have. We could spend the whole time talking about the danger of the tongue. And in verse 10 of chapter 3 in particular says, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So, if we were to talk about your communications over this holiday season or maybe the whole year as we think about contemplating the end of this one, if the Lord tarries, have you made any statements that you may not should have said? I want you to think about that, and most of us probably would say, yes, somewhere in this year, I said things that could have been taken in the wrong way. I said things that I should not have said because I knew as soon as I said it, I was going to push the button of my wife or my husband or my parents or my children. You see, we often know exactly what to say to get somebody upset. Everybody knows that, and we learn it very quickly. I want to talk about simply a lesson about you say. This is what you have to say. And what God's reply would be if we would listen. Are you willing to listen? Am I willing to listen to the answer of God for things that I say? Would his meaning be entirely different than my meaning? Let me give you the first example. You say, it's impossible. You ever had a task that you thought that was just totally impossible, that there was no way in which that's going to be accomplished? Now, needless to say, as we think about the lesson, it can be taken two different ways. It can be taken from a physical standpoint or a spiritual standpoint. And most of the things that we're going to have reference to in particular today are going to have a spiritual application. Though I just can't do that. It is impossible. Don't ever ask me to do that. It is impossible. I just could not get through that. Yet over in Luke chapter 18 and there verse 27, it says this. Luke 18 verse 27. But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. About a rich man entering the kingdom of heaven. There are a lot of things that man can't do. But I want you to understand that there's nothing that God can't do. And we need to present ourselves in such a way and have the knowledge as such that we know that all things are possible with God. And never deny that. Never think that God cannot. You ever read something that says, my God is bigger than your God? Let me tell you, my God is bigger than any God that man has ever created. And that there's nothing impossible with him. We see when we look at the scripture that God created the heavens and the earth in the very beginning. He showed us that he could take nothing and make something out of it. And throughout his recorded history, we can see all the things that he relays to us through the written word of how he's been able to calm the seas, raise the dead, heal the sick, cause the lame to walk, the blind to see. So I need to start out this discussion with myself understanding and you understanding as well that there is nothing impossible with my God. My God is big. I think the kids sometimes sing a song similar to that. My God is big. He is every place at one time. He sees all things. So let's not think that it is impossible for God. And it's not impossible for God in my life. If I rely upon him, if I follow him. But somebody else may come along and say, well, I am just too tired. I am worn to a frazzle, as Grandma used to say. I'm just worn out. Now, if we're talking about from a physical standpoint, if you're worn out, and I've seen a few eyeballs here today that actually saying, I am worn out, I am tired. Well, if we are physically tired, then we need to rest. We need to lay down and rest. Oh, I'm just too tired. I'm just so tired. And believe it or not, sometimes in the spiritual realm, brethren get tired. They've gone through so many things that they're just tired and worn out. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm mentally tired. I'm spiritually tired. My faith is weak, and so on and so forth. I love what Jesus had to say. It's one of my favorite passages in Matthew chapter 11 and there verse 28, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Regardless of what might come upon us, regardless of how bad days seem to be, and sometimes day after day, week after week, month after month, and sometimes even into years, do not grow weary. For due season, we will reap if we faint not. So the next time, in the spiritual realm, you say, I'm just tired, I'm worn out. And sometimes I've seen that as people get closer to death. They say, I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. And I think most of us will reach that point sometime in our life if the Lord tarries as we continue to get older. Remember Grandma? She was 95. She passed away. She said, Sonny, that's what she called me, sweet woman that she was, said, Sonny, I'm tired. She wasn't physically tired. She was mentally tired. She was just ready to leave this old earth. And she says, I'm ready to go to the Lord and be with him. When you say I'm tired, what do you mean? Physically or spiritually? Physically rest yourself. spiritually, don't give up. Don't give up. Somebody else comes around and says, well, Matt David, nobody loves me. Believe it or not, I run into people every once in a while who have that view. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. And I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. Sometimes when we get older in years, there seem to be less people around. Oh, they're there, but they're not around. One of our dear ladies here, before she passed away, she said, David, I'm lonely. I never see my grandchildren. They never come around. When they were small, they were everywhere. They were there at Thanksgiving. They were there at Christmas. They were. But now I never see them. Young people, let me tell you something. Grandpa and grandma, great-grandma and great-grandpa will need your presence to the day that you die. Sometimes they feel that they are unloved because you're not there. You've gotten busy in your own life. I understand that. But in many cases, even grandma and grandpa and mom and daddy got you to where you are. And let's not forget who they are. Let me tell you, those of you who feel that you're unloved, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have always been loved. You have been loved by the very Creator that created you in your parents' womb. You are loved. And as you read the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, it is filled with the grace and mercy and the love of God. So the next time you feel like you're unloved and you make this crazy statement, nobody loves me, you look to heaven. And you'll find the greatest of all loves. No man, no woman can love you as much as God loves you. It is an agape type love that he will take the life that you've lived, and as you repent, he says, there's my child. And as you falter along the way, he'll say, there's my child. I hope to get it back together. God loves you. Don't ever forget that. Somebody else comes along and says, I just can't go on. I just can't go on. In 2 Corinthians 12, have you ever said that? I'm at my wit's end. I'm physically, emotionally, and spiritually just drained. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, in there verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If there's ever been a person who had all kinds of difficulties, it was the Apostle Paul. And he wanted whatever it was. He wanted this thing that he had. He asked God three times, remove it, remove it, remove it. And God says, my grace is sufficient. I don't care what you might be going through. Don't be guilty. Say, I can't. Mama always said, can't. Can't do anything. Be positive. How many times have our children come to us and said, Daddy, I just can't do that? And you know they can. And so you assist them and help them. Well, when we get to the point where we say, I just can't go on, God is saying, my grace is sufficient. I can help you travel from where you are to where you need to be. I'm right there beside of you. Don't lose sight of me. Walk with me and I'll walk with you. We sing songs like that. Well, let's just don't say words and let's just not make statements that in reality are just not good statements to make. Let's not say it is impossible. Let's not say I'm too tired. And let's not say nobody loves me. And let's say I can't. Look for ways to accomplish that which is good for God and for yourself. And God says, my grace is sufficient. You see, God never moves. God hasn't left. God is consistent. If something's happened to me, it's because I have moved away. If I think something is impossible, it's because I've moved away. If I believe myself to be too tired, I've moved away. God is still there saying, get back here. We just have to have the faith. I can't figure it out. Well, believe it or not, there are some things that we have trouble figuring out, and God will point out to us that I'll direct your steps. What's Jeremiah 10:23 says? Said it's not a man that walks to direct his steps. Sometimes I need to have enough trust and confidence in God to know that he will direct me, and he'll direct me in the right path. Over in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Now, pay attention. This would be a good time to wake up if you're trying to go to sleep on it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Let the Lord. But it gets down, and a lot of this really is trust. And being willing to listen to how God answers every statement that you can. I can't figure it out. Take time. When Cynthia would teach Mass, she would talk about our own children as well as other children that she taught. And kids would come in and say, I can't figure this out. And so she would sit down with them and methodically they'd go through there. Brian, you understand that. You can understand it. It's not that hard. You just haven't gotten the hang of it yet. And so you work with that student so that they might know where to go. God's trying to work with each one of us. You can figure it out in the spiritual realm. One of the problems with many that's in the world today, they're lazy. They're unwilling to try to figure something out. We don't have the stamina to try to work with something. We want everything right now, right now, right now. And as long as you want something right now, most of the time it's not going to work because you need to sit and think about it. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Scriptures say. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. And let the Lord show us the path. Matthew 7, it talks about that straight and narrow path that leads into life, and many there will be that will never find it. That path has difficulties in it. But we'll just stay on the path. Deal with the difficulties. Let the Lord help you figure it out. And know that He's already figured it out for us. It's going to be okay. Sometimes we make statements just because we're lazy. We don't want to have to spend a lot of time in taking care of the issue. I can't do it. How do you know you can't do something until you try it? Now, I understand there's some things that you don't want me to do and I'm not going to try. Now, if you had a heart problem and you needed heart surgery, and I came up to you and said, I think I can do it. Now, that might be a time you might want to say, David, we know you can't do it. But I've got this big, long knife. It's a military knife, and it'll cut you coming and going. And they say, I'm afraid that's what you would do, cut me coming and going and not know what to do after you got me up with it. I don't believe you could ever get me clothes. But in the spiritual realm, whatever our talents might be, I believe that we can do. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. And verse 13. This is a misused passage often. What Paul is saying here, I can endure every situation through Christ who gives me strength. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He could endure the beating. He could endure being left for dead. I can handle whatever situation comes my way in Christ Jesus. I can endure. So can I. And so can you. You can endure anything that comes your way because of Christ if we put our trust and confidence in God and in Christ. I can do it in the spiritual realm. Don't count yourself short. And that's what some folks do. Sometimes we're asked to do things within the local church. And we say, I can't. How you know you can't? You ever tried it? Well, I know me. I know people my age and younger who would not be where they are today if they'd had that attitude. What strong gospel preacher could be sitting in this audience right now? What strong young man and woman in the future can be elders and deacons and the wives of elders and deacons and preachers? If we would take the attitude that with the help of God I can do anything, I'm going to try. I'd rather try and fail. It's been a good while ago, but I can remember when I was asked to go and preach full time for the first time. I was in my 20s. And I was asked to move to McMinnville, Tennessee. That's where I met them Stevens. McMinnville, Tennessee. I was asked to move there in 1968. I got a good job. Daddy said, don't lose that job. Don't leave that job. What are you going to do when they kick you out? My daddy was an optimist. And I thought, you know, can I do the Lord's will? Can I preach the gospel? Cynthia and I talked about it. We prayed about it. And you know, there was one thing that was in the back of my mind, even when I was 20. What if I wait until I'm 70 and then wished I had? As one fellow that I baptized at 70, he said this. He was a good man. He said, I've wasted 70 years of my life. Wasted 70 years of my life. He died 2 weeks later. He said, I wish I hadn't waited. Don't say I can't until you've tried. And you've tried, try one more time. It may be that you can't, but it's okay to fail if you try, but it's not okay. We don't even try. I can't do it. I'm going to skip. I'm not able. Just let you think about it later down the road. It's not worth it. How many times have you heard someone say it's not worth it? It's not worth the effort. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the expense. It's not worth. It's not worth. We come up with all of these ideas of why it's not worth it. Romans chapter 8, another one of those passages that often misapplied. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The idea are all the blessings of God that God has done everything to make sure that everything is going to work out in the spiritual realm so you can go home to heaven. God has worked it all out. Beloved, let me tell you, it's worth being here today. It was worth being here at Bible study. Will be worth being here this afternoon and singing. It'll be worth being here Wednesday night. It'll be worth wherever you might find yourself when the brethren are assembled. It will be worth being there. But every day that you have spent, every hour that you have spent in serving the Lord, it has been worth every bit of it. And you'll never regret it. How beautiful heaven must be, we sing. I aim to find out. Don't you? It's worth giving up friends. It's worth giving up family. It's worth giving up work. It's worth giving up sports. It's worth giving up whatever. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I can't forgive myself. I am, David, I am the worst of sinners. I guess if you were to take the collectivity of our sins and put them together, we've all done some pretty sinful things. You name it, we've all probably done it. Or at least one or two of us done something. And the reason that we are here today, are you with me still? The reason we're here today is because I stand before you a forgiven man. And I sit and I look at forgiven people. Men and women, young and old alike. We have heard the voice of God through Scripture, I forgive. And aren't we grateful for the forgiveness of our sins? In Romans, it tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Forgive yourself. So that God can forgive you. Once you come to Him, ask Him. It's all gone. It is as if it never happened. Oh, you may not ever forget it. But you can sing in your heart, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And then spend the rest of your life thanking God. You have been. I'm afraid. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, the fearful and unbelieving will have their part in the lake of fire. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, the scripture teaches that God has not given us fear, but rather strength. God has helped us and can continue to help us. Don't be afraid. Head towards heaven. We can talk about, I'm always worried. Are you worried, Ward? Most of the things that we worry about never come to happen. Have you noticed that in your life? Most of the things that you spend time in worrying about, it never happens. Peter says, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares. Give them to somebody who can tote them. Old country expression. Give it to somebody that has already stated, as we've looked from Matthew 11, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Quit worrying. Doesn't mean that you stop and you don't try to make things be as they need to be or the best they can. Turn to Turn it over to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Give it to Him. I know some of you right now are dealing with some terrible situations and saying goodbye to loved ones. Afraid that you're going to say goodbye to loved ones. And you're worried sick. Turn it to the Lord. Give it to someone who has the power to change things. To be able, regardless of what comes our way, quit worrying and say, the Lord's will be done and not mine. What did Jesus say? Let this cup pass from me. I think that was a human side coming out. But then I heard him turn around and say, but your will be done. God, regardless, I know that your will must be done. I had to throw that one in. I'm not smart enough. Well, none of us are. I don't care what your intellectual capacity may be. In many ways, I guess we're not. But you know, I can get smarter by taking the wisdom that Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 1:30, where it talks about he'll give us wisdom, applied knowledge. There are all kinds of statements that we could come up with about trying to show our inabilities. Yes, there are a lot of things that you can't do in life. I understand that. But there's a lot more that you could do if you would just turn it over to the Lord. And find out what His answer is to a lot of my negativism. When I'd say, I can't. I'm tired. I'm worried. I'm this. I'm that. Give it to the Lord. You know, we claim to be followers of Jehovah. We claim to be members of the kingdom of God. We claim to be the children of God. Well, give it to God. Let Him have His way with us. Let Him have His way with us. And we'd sing that song, It Is Well. Are you with me? It is well with my soul. We got to do it. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the star, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display.
Then sings my soul,
my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings
my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art,
how great Thou art. I guarantee you. If you live your days every day understanding how great God is, we're going to get to heaven. What a great day. And we'll sing in heaven all those glorious songs that God would have us to sing, whatever they may be. They're going to be beautiful. How great it will be. There are those in our assembly that are not Christians. You're lost without God and without hope. And all those things that you might be saying, you don't know what to do with them. God sent His Son because He loved you. He calls upon you to repent of your sins, to confess your faith in that Christ. He buried with Him, have your sins washed away. Now you're ready. Now you're ready to live in the trust of the Almighty God. If you are a child of God and you've gone back in the world and you started doubting God, you started doubting yourself, you started doubting anything and everybody, it's time for you to repent.
and be all you can be in the strength of God. Think of that, beloved, as we stand.